7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, time now for a look at the news for a Wednesday. It's the 18th day of October for 2017. As you heard during the intro, the Calaveras Unified Educators Association announced last night that they will be going on strike tomorrow. We've got Superintendent Mark Campbell on the phone with us this morning. Mark, good morning. Thanks for giving us a call today.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for the opportunity.
So, Mark, in a prepared statement yesterday, you released from the district, and you say that the district's offering a 2% salary increase. Teachers union have proposed a 6.5% increase and a $100 increase to monthly benefits. And other than that, both sides have pretty much agreed to you're all on the same page. Is there any chance, Mark, in the next 24 hours that both sides can come together and, you know, find that sweet spot here?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's always a chance, and we always have hope until there's the definitive reason not to. We have negotiations set for today, two separate sessions, one at 10 o'clock and one at 4 o'clock. And we're going to continue to just work diligently and collaboratively until we find a resolution.
So there is a chance that the strike could be avoided then?
Correct. I mean, again, that's what we're going into work today with. That's every intent and every belief that we have the ability to do this.
Mark, do you have the staff to, you know, keep the schools open? I know you said you're going to keep the school open. Just going to try to, you know, you're going to try to keep it as normal as possible. Have you hired? Do you have a list of substitutes that are ready to come in on Thursday and take over?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have a list of substitutes. And again, our plan right now, Jim, is to conduct operations as normal as possible. Admittedly, there will be a significant impact, but to provide that safe and secure learning environment for kids is our objective. We have the bodies in place to do so, and unless conditions change otherwise today, we're fully prepared to remain open tomorrow and beyond.
So, Mark, let me just ask you the elephant in the room question here, okay?
Okay.
Why not give them the 6.5% increase?
Yeah, that's a pretty big elephant in the room.
Hey, yeah.
In trying to boil down a very complex situation and answer into a simple, concise, radio-friendly, soundbite, if you will, I mean, what we're trying to do is spread the needle. Because if we honestly could, we would love to give the 6.5. We would love to increase compensation for all staff. But as we're facing declining enrollment and we're facing deficit spending, we're trying to thread that needle between how much compensation can we give without plunging the district into this fiscal abyss that we can't pull out of. And so we're really trying to find that balance, because no matter how much we give, even a 2% that is on the table, that's going to require us to make about $800,000 in cuts still. So it's a give and take situation. Where how can we, you know, how much can we fairly compensate, and fairly is a subjective term, but, you know, increase compensation to staff without sacrificing people and programs in the district? And we're trying to find that balance. And anything above and beyond a 2% at this current point with current conditions puts us in a position of making cuts to programs, which we're just not able to, we're not willing to do.
Mark, are you still required to turn your budget into the school,
county office.
Yeah, the county office.
Yes, we are. And they're in charge of our fiscal oversight to make sure that we are submitting a budget that is balanced with a minimum 3% reserve, not just in the current year, but we have to project out 3 years,
right,
and submit that for approval.
What do they say? Do they say give them the raise? Don't give them the raise, or they just don't get involved in it?
No, we have external budget analysis. People who have looked at our budget, but also county office. And the county office even said in a public board meeting, if you give what is being asked of you, you will automatically submit a negative budget. And the county office would step in and provide some pretty significant intervention to help us correct, you know, the decisions that we would be cast to make. A 6.5% increase has us projecting a $6 million deficit in 2019-2020. And that's just fiscally irresponsible to put the district in that position.
Mm-hmm. So on a side note, Mark, going into the meeting last night, you had said that all extracurricular activities, sports, field trips, so forth, would be canceled. And then, but during a closed session last night, you came back and decided that you would not cancel or postpone, for example, Friday's football game here in Sutter Creek with Amador. You'll play that game. What was the deciding factor in that?
Obviously, a lot of emotion last night from students and from staff and from parents, and rightfully so, advocating to not take away opportunities for kids. Our whole intent with that, and it's standard protocol for districts that are facing a strike situation, is if you can't guarantee that you can provide the staff necessary to ensure a safe, and healthy environment to conduct activities mm-hmm. and all that that entails, then you should shut it down. We couldn't guarantee that we would be able to provide transportation. We couldn't guarantee we'd be to provide supervision, and also any coaches who are teachers would not be able to coach. And so there's a lot of uncertainty in a very short window of time, decision made to cancel. Since then, we had staff, athletic directors, and whatnot, advocate and take steps to close the gaps on any health and safety concerns to the degree that the board, based upon the input from the public and based upon the work that was done, specifically at Calaveras High School by Mike Kep, athletic director, to go ahead and reverse that decision, allow the events to continue, still presents an element of risk, but not enough that we don't feel that it's worthwhile to have the kids, engaging right. the opportunities. Don't take it away from the kids, and kind of just again, these are uncertain times.
But so, for example, like Jason, Coach Weatherby, who's also a teacher, he won't be on the field, but he has walk-on coaches that are employed by the district but have other jobs that aren't teachers. They can be there because a teacher can't decide to be on strike or not on strike. You're either on strike or you're not, correct?
No, actually, Jim, teachers could choose to cross the picket line, so to speak, and report to their jobs. That's not often the case, and I don't anticipate that would be the case this time, but they can make that choice. They do have the ability to make that choice. However, if they choose to strike, then they lose the right to serve any function within the district, such as coaching.
Sure. So let's go one step further. Rumor is that the classified?
Classified
employees are going to vote to strike today and follow the teachers. If they strike, what will happen to the district at that point? Because you're talking all the secretaries, the bus drivers, the janitors, the food people. What happens then?
Right. Yeah, obviously that would be a very crippling decision for the district. I mean, we're in a position, and we have heard this, and it was advocated or articulated last night at the board meeting by their labor rep, that they feel powerless to stop it if, in fact, their members wish to do so. I would say, one, that if they do choose to strike, it would be called a sympathy strike. It would be illegal, as they've not gone through the proper process, going through impasse and mediation and fact-finding, to get them to the place where they could legally strike. So that it would be an illegal activity that carries a certain set of ramifications. For us, though, in the here and now, if they choose, classified chooses to walk off the job illegally, then we're in a position where we really have to look at closing schools. I don't foresee a way for us to keep schools open if we lose certificated and classified staff. And we're not going to put kids at risk. We're not going to jeopardize their health and safety. And this is a decision we have to really make this morning, no later than early afternoon, even knowing that this, quasi-alleged strike vote isn't happening until tonight.
Sure. Superintendent Campbell, you have a session at 10, a session at 4. Let's hope there can be some agreement and we can avoid this strike on Thursday.
I share the very same thoughts. Thank you, Jim.
Mark, keep us up to date on what's going on, all right?
Will do, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Calaveras Unified School District Superintendent Mark Campbell this morning. We will be back and check in with the latest on the local news right after this. NKVGC News Time is now 17 after the hour. I want to thank Superintendent Campbell for talking with us today. Elsewhere in the news this morning, City of Ione moving forward with a new restrictive ordinance governing marijuana following a special meeting last week where the council took over 2.5 hours of testimony on the subject. Last night, the Ione City Council instructed city staff to prepare what is essentially the maximum level allowed under the state's new legislation law, Proposition 64. The council directed that the city ordinance ban all commercial uses of the drug, including growing, sales, and deliveries. While Prop 64 does allow adults to grow up to 6 cannabis plants for personal use, IONE will regulate that activity as well, requiring a special city permit, building inspection, and not allowing it at houses with minors present. The city has also till the end of the year to adopt these ordinances before state regulations go into effect. In other business last night, the council approved a new ordinance and fee for building secondary dwellings or granny flats in the city, with the goal to make it easier and cheaper to add those dwellings. The council also took up a trio of items related to the city sewer system, including additional money for the city's wastewater engineer, a new groundwater monitoring contract, and change orders for work currently going on at the city sewer plant. Work on lining a pair of treatment ponds at the plant is expected to be completed by the end of the month. A Calaveras County man who will face murder charges for the September shooting death of his son, David Bilderback, will stand trial on charges of murder and a special allegation enhancement of committing a violent felony for the alleged use of a firearm in the death of his son, Cole Bilderback. Calaveras County Superior Court Judge Timothy Healy made the ruling earlier this week following Bilderback's one-hour preliminary hearing. Bilderback's lawyer, Steve Krinsky of the Calaveras County Public Defender's Office, told Judge Healy he plans to file a motion to dismiss due to deficient evidence. He argued that the evidence was not sufficient enough to determine whether the shooting was a homicide or a murder. Judge Healy ruled in favor of the prosecution anyway and moved forward with the charges as stated. The case is scheduled for an arraignment on October 30th at 9 a.m., Bilderback will remain in custody, subject to bail being set at $3 million.
Well, more bear sightings reported over the past few days throughout both Amador and Calaveras counties, according to KVGC listeners. Friday morning, a bear spotted off Carson Drive in the Pioneer area, while another bear was spotted Saturday morning off Highway 26 near Paloma. Now, as previously reported, these were the usual bear-in-the-garbage sightings. Fish and wildlife officials have a series of tips to prevent bear problems on your property. First off, never feed bears. Report any instance of bears being fed or getting into human food. Place trash in bear-proof containers. Never leave pet food outside or make bird feeders accessible to bears. Now, officials also say if you come in contact with a bear, be aggressive, but use caution. Black bears are very common in our area, and have become used to humans and no longer have a strong fear of us. Fish and wildlife authorities say be responsible, take the proper actions and precautions when dealing with wildlife.
And the flu season is on the horizon. Sutter Amador Hospital will be hosting 2 free community flu clinics. Cases of influenza can show up as early as November, you know, with the flu season lasting through April. Sutter Amador Health recommends that everyone in the community who can get vaccinated should get vaccinated. The first of 2 clinics will be held this Saturday from 10 to 2 at the Hospital Outpatient Services Center. Another will be held on Sunday, November 19th. Flu immunizations will not be available at Amador County Schools this year, so this is a good opportunity to have your children immunized at no cost to you. Flu shots are available to anyone over the age of 3. If you can, when you come to get your shot, bring a non-perishable food item to donate to the Interfaith Food Bank. These community clinics are possible thanks to the partnership with Amador County Public Health, Amador Sutter Medical Foundation, and the Amador County Unified School District and the hospital itself. Well, that's a look at local news on a Gold Country Wednesday morning. From the KVGC News Center,
I'm JD.
And I'm Jim Geedy reporting.